Thank you, Brother Philip. It's on now. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 again. And last week, we just barely got through an introduction on this passage about the day of Christ. The day of Christ is also called in several places the day of the Lord. It's called the day of judgment. And it's called the return of Christ. All those things happen on the same day. There's not a day that one thing happens 7 years later, another thing happens 1,000 years after that, another thing happens. It is the same day. When Jesus returns, you're saved or lost forever and ever. When Jesus returns, that is the day of judgment. It is the end of the age. It's the end of this world. It is the end of time. Time will be no more. We step into eternity where we never get older. I don't know how young we'll be on the day of Christ, but our Lord Jesus was 33 years old when he received his glorified body. The Bible says we'll be like him. We shall see him as he is. So I would imagine that the little babies grow up till they look to be about 33 years old or whatever that looks like in heaven. And that we'll be about that age as well. The thing is that some of us that are men, we'll all have bald heads there. You say, how do you know that, Brother Ross? Give me the chapter and verse. Well, all I know is that we've been taught there'll be no parting there. So, talking about men's heads. No, it wasn't. But it's good to have a little bit of a sense of humor as long as you don't get carried away. So let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we're going to look at chapter 1 and verse 6. And then after our reading, which we didn't really get through last time without a lot of commentary to explain the background and to explain how easily these things can happen and how we can actually see a lot of these things nowadays. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and beginning at verse 6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, speaking about God's people, and in history millions and millions and millions of Christians have been killed and put to death for no other reason than that they loved the Lord Jesus. They believed on him and followed him. If you follow all the Christians who just in the last 100 years or so have been murdered by the millions and continue to be murdered in places like Iran, North Korea, every day in China. In China, they'll just be arrested for being a Christian, thrown into like a sweatshop. And when they're needed to be called upon for members of the Communist Party, they go ahead and take them out of those that labor, and they take whatever organs they need, kidneys, liver. Well, how are the Christians going to live without those? They don't. They're murdered. And you can look on the internet and see these special machines that are able to keep a person alive long enough to where they just go in there. They don't care about the pain. They don't give them anesthesia. They strap them down. They go and take the organs and keep them alive long enough until they got the organs they need. They're dead, and through much pain they enter the kingdom of glory. And all of that is because they love the Lord Jesus. They were found with a New Testament. They got caught with a Bible in their home. That's going on today in China. It goes on the same way in Saudi Arabia, which our own president went over to beg for them to release more oil. Well, just open up the pipelines you shut down when you first came into office, and we'd have self-sustaining oil. We wouldn't have to call on any other countries or look like humble children, fools, going to ask for a bit of scraps from those who do not give religious freedom to those who are Christians. Now, you can, if you work in Saudi Arabia, you can attend little meetings and you can keep a New Testament or Bible there. You just have to keep it in your compound, which is behind walls or fences for foreign workers from other countries. Because Saudi Arabia is so rich that 90-some percent of their people don't have to work a job. United Arab Emirates, all their workers are from other countries. And it's quite amazing that the women have nothing to do all day except sit around drinking ginger tea and having these certain desserts with other women on plush pillows. The average United Arab Emirate person has, this was years ago, they probably have more than that now, but 5 cell phones. And they have diamond-encrusted cases and so on. They have more gold and diamond stores in the United Arab Emirates than they have grocery stores. The people are wealthy, but the gospel is not treasured there. That's not desired there. The same in, where is that place where they have that indoor, I think that's the same place, isn't it? United Arab Emirates, where they have the snow thing. They can go skiing, yeah. And it's just a wild amount of wealth, but not the true riches of heaven. And when we talk about the strong delusion that'll come, it's already here, but it'll be at a much higher degree. Because one of the things that happens before the day of Christ, before Christ returns, is a strong delusion over all the earth. And only those who have been truly born again, washed in the blood of Christ, will know it for what it is. We already see our kind springing up here and there. And it's very sad that even in our day, the persecution in America, because this pastor is keeping the First Amendment, he and the hundreds of people in his church, and it's a good Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church, was put away in jail this last week because he refused to shut his church down for one of these COVID or monkeypox things they have going around. It's a bunch of monkey business is what it is. And let me say it. I don't care if they put me in jail over that. I'm going to tell the truth. And I'm not going to quit having church. I can even remember when the first 2 weeks of it, when we were still trying to figure out what it was, we decided to let people stay home here. But after those first 2 weeks, we started coming to church. Months before MacArthur started going to church. And I was glad to see some of these other guys falling in line and getting a dose of the Bible they teach and preach, and coming back to the First Amendment of the Constitution, but even better than that, to the 25th verse of the 10th chapter of Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day of Christ approaching. And I'm glad MacArthur has been faithful. He's been persecuted for it too. But there was a lot of us little country preachers and country churches all around that didn't care what the government was going to do. We were going to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, and not forsake the assembling of ourselves. And so it's good to see the big churches coming along, and the others that did a couple months afterwards, or sometimes a half a year afterwards, or a year afterwards. But another pastor was arrested and taken to jail this week because of the scamdemic going on, the plandemic. Chinese flu. So let's move back here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel, the glad tidings of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the word falling away there is the Greek word apostasy. It means to turn away from the faith. Unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. And another word for perdition is hell. Which perdition means hell, basically. The man of sin is revealed, and the son of hell, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's not nothing, anything new either. We've had world leaders. We have politicians right now that think they're God. What kind of person even runs in politics unless there's somebody who thinks they ought to be in charge telling you what to do, how much to spend, where you can live, what you can do? That's some kind of a weird person, you know, that thinks that they're so smart that they can go around telling everybody else how to live and what to do. And then telling you to wear a mask while they go out laundering around to the laundry restaurant here, there, and there, and go to get their hair done without wearing a mask, right? They go around thinking they're God. They can tell you what to do. And then when they don't do it, you know, you don't have anything you can say about it. Verse 5. Do you not remember when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, the man of sin. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That is the one who has bound Satan in the chains of darkness. In Revelation 20, the day is coming when the Bible says he will remove that chain. Satan will be loosed and go out deceiving and to deceive. And not only that, but Paul is going to say that as well over and over. And Jesus said it as well, that in that day, people will be made to believe a lie. All those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ will be under strong delusion. Are they not already under strong delusion? So many false religions in the world. The nation of China, there's approximately 7 billion people on the planet, right? A little over 2 billion are in China. And they worship atheism, evolution. They worship the Communist Party. And thank God there are Christians there, but they get persecuted. They have to go from town to town, village to village, sometimes living on less than a little bowl of rice every day. And because they won't kill their babies, that you do know the Chinese government can tell you when you can have a baby, when you can't. And so you then get to choose whether you want a boy or a girl. And then that's it. So the people, like in the days of Israel and Egypt, the Hebrews in Egypt, the believers in the Lord, the followers of Christ, they're not going to put a baby to death like Democrats. They're not going to put a baby to death like the Chinese government or those in Myanmar or those in these other places. They're not going to do it. So they have to run from the law. They're outcasts. They're outlaws. They're criminals according to the Chinese government. And they have to roam from village to village and town to town where there are other Christians who can take them in as long as they can. Feed them and feed their own families. And miracle after miracle takes place over there. And those Christians, when they meet secretly in the fields or behind the houses, or they meet secretly to worship God together, they are some of the happiest people in the world, I can tell you. God's presence among them is more than sufficient. So the mystery of lawlessness, verse 7 of chapter 2, is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. Remember in Revelation, the sword that proceeds out of his mouth that is coming. And with the breath of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong what? Delusion. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so the strong delusion has already come. But look at how much false religion is in the world already. And if you talk to them, if you say to the Latter-day Saints, you've believed a strong lie of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, they'll turn around and say to you, it's not a lie, it's the truth. Strong delusion. You talk to the atheist, of which the Supreme Court declared Was it 1978, Philip, that they declared, what is that? They have a name to it. It's a cult that rules the public schools and the government universities and everything. The guy who did start that public education type of thrust, John Dewey, was a member of it. They have a manifesto. It's not the Communist Manifesto, but it's a different manifesto. Do you remember them in public education? Well, in 1978, the United States Supreme Court declared that was a religion. Atheism is a religion. And if you want to name practically anything, you create your own religion. And so you're not supposed to teach religion in schools, then why are you teaching evolution? That's part of a religion called communism. It's part of a religion called atheism. Yes, it is a religion. It's Satan's religion from the beginning when he said, you shall be your own gods, choosing for yourselves what's good and evil. And so this strong delusion that's over the world, I mean, they're calling good evil and evil good. I mean, they care more about some lesbian who got busted for weed over in Russia than they do the Marines and our military guys who were captured there and have been still in prison for years. They'll make a big deal about her, but I guarantee you don't know any Marine's name that's over there in captivity in Russia. Why? Because the media thinks some lesbian drug addict fruitcake plays a lesbian with hardly ever watch sport is more important than our soldiers that are in that prison. It's a delusion. That's why it's called fake news. Because it's all built on a lie. And that lie has to do with communism, atheism, socialism. You might get mad at me saying it, but that's because you probably are one if you get mad at me. And if you're happy, then you're glad somebody's telling the truth that you've already known for years and years. So let's move on. I got to get to my sermon, Brother Philip, or I'm going to be stuck here. You know it's your fault, right? Okay, so first of all, the day of Christ is a momentous event. We've never seen anything like it. And it'll only come once in the history of God's universe. And that day of Christ is going to be the put down, the overthrow, the defeat of every rebellion, of every demon and sinner against Jesus. The Bible says that every knee, even Satan himself, every knee shall bow to Jesus and every tongue confess that he's Lord. In other words, he's the big boss. He's the monarch of it all. He's the emperor of the universe. He's King of kings and Lord of lords over all. And it'll glorify God the Father. That day will close the history of the world. The events, as far as any historical precedents going on of any of the exploits of man, will be over. It will all be replaced with the praise of God forever and ever, the glory of God for those of us who enter eternity as born again, blood washed, Jesus loving Christians, and the total destruction, as it were, and punishment, as the Bible says here, of those who refuse Christ. Who said, no, I'll choose my own way, going my own way. I'll choose my own religion. No, I won't listen to the truth that Jesus Christ alone is the way to heaven because I am going to help myself get there. And that's what all the religions of the world are about except the true faith. They want to, yeah, I Jesus saved me and then I got baptized. I've been going to church. I kept myself saved. No, you didn't. You can't even save yourself, much less keep yourself saved. There's two faiths in this world. The faith that it's Jesus plus something. Speaking in tongues, being faithful, being filled with the Holy Ghost, and all these other things they want to add to it. Being baptized. You start naming it, you know, on down the line. The thing is that it's Jesus alone. That's the only word of the Bible. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus, Acts 4:12. And then the Philippian jailer came in after the prison doors were open. These prisoners were staying there. They're in total amazement, this miracle. And then the jailer came to the Apostle Paul and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? There's the question. The next is the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Bible only knows one way of salvation. And his name is Jesus. It's not a religion, it's a person. It's not a ritual, it's a relationship.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you trusting in him and him alone? Have you cast your soul into his nail-pierced hands that were pierced for your sins, that were pierced to redeem you, to save you, to lift you all the way to heaven with him? Are you trusting Jesus and him alone? You know, religion is something you need to repent from. You need to turn away from your religion and turn to Christ. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you need Jesus. If you're a Catholic, you need Jesus. You need to turn away from your religion and turn to Jesus and him alone. Ask him to show you a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church you can go to. They ought to like this on Rumble, Brother Philip. And so that day will close the history of the world. As Revelation says, the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay. In other words, that Greek word is chronos. That there should be time, no more. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. The day of Christ will not only end every rebellion of demons and sinners, it'll be a day of vengeance and wrath. Look at verse 7 through 9. And, well, look at really verse 8 of chapter 1. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. There's only one way you can know him, and that's through Jesus Christ. For those who do not know God, on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Not only destruction, but an everlasting destruction. Like in Oregon, we have the beautiful beaches are beautiful for the most part. They're rocky around the beach. You have the sand up from the sea, but then you have these rocks and these cliffs, and it's beautiful. A lot of them, there's holes to them just naturally the way God created it. And it's like when the waves start coming in at high tide and crashing against the rocks like they've done for thousands of years. And yet those rocks remain. They stand. As the punishment of the waves comes, they never have the relief of crumbling to the ground and not being smacked and smashed over and over again. And so it is for those who go to hell, held up by God in one hand and destroyed by him with the other, forever and ever, wave after wave, of their conscience, of remembering the times that they could have accepted Christ and they didn't. Times they heard the gospel and said, I'll do it some other time. I'll repent some other time, and put it off until it was too late. You know, every time God comes with the gospel to us in the Bible, he said, now. Believe now. He never said, believe it when you feel like it. Come to Jesus when you're done sowing your wild oats. God says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Psalm 95, I almost chose that for our Bible reading after the sermon this morning because it has this truth. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of the Lord. Think not that you can do your repenting another time. You only have today. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. For what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away? And in Job it says, the mighty are taken away without hand. In other words, we're seeing it more and more in our day. Teenagers dying during football practice on the football field. Basketball players collapsing at midcourt and dying. Other people dying. Here, the mighty are taken away without hand. I remember my favorite singer, My favorite gospel singer was only in his 40s. He had been a part of the Metropolitan Opera Singers, and what a great voice as he sang the songs like Ship Ahoy. And every time he sang Jesus Loves Me, he would cry in tears over that. What a great voice. But one night he went to bed. Thank God he was saved. Just in his 40s. And God took him without a whimper, without a sound. His wife woke up in the morning, turned him over, and there was just a pleasant smile on his face. He'd passed away in the presence of the Lord. His name was Ray Hart, H-A-R-T. And if you want to look up some of his songs on YouTube, the recording may not be that good, but Ray Hart, what a singer. Without even a microphone, he could command a several thousand seat auditorium. And with the bass of his voice and the tenor of his voice, just this wonderful singer, he could move you heavenward or cause the ground to tremble with his voice. And yet, in his 40s, he goes home to be with the Lord. You better be ready, because we don't know when that day's coming or when our day's coming, that we go home to be with the Lord. And so the day of Christ, though, for us will be a day of wonder and glory. The day be a day of vengeance and wrath. If the Bible says, wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, the day of vengeance, that he may avenge himself on his adversaries. The sword shall devour. It shall be made drunk with their blood. Alas for the day, for the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near, the day of decision. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. And think about people like Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and other very wealthy people. You know, money can't buy you the things that are most important. It can't buy you your salvation. And it can't buy you another second. I remember J. Paul Getty, if you know of his museum near Malibu or in Malibu. When I was just a teenager, we went there and I saw the Rembrandt painting hanging in there along with other great works of art and great statues from around the world. And I asked him how much that Rembrandt was. They said between $6 to $8 million. Very simple painting. That was when I was a teenager. I don't know how much it's worth now. That man, J. Paul Getty, who acquired all this wealth, one of the oil tycoons, said on his deathbed, I would gladly give up all my riches that I've ever owned to have experienced a half an hour of a happy marriage. See, what do you have if you have that treasure? You can own something J. Paul Getty could never buy. That's what he said. Look it up on Rumble or wherever you want to check me out on. I would gladly have given all my riches to know a half an hour of a happy marriage. You know, this is very important for us to realize. No matter how smart you are, no matter how talented you are, no matter what dreams or plans you have, when your time is up, you're going to meet God. Are you prepared to meet God? We're talking about this great day, this momentous event that'll outrival the flood of Noah in its destruction, because it'll all happen in moments. Whereas Noah's flood took 40 days and 40 nights. It wasn't just the rain coming down from heaven, but we have great amount of water under the earth as well. And in the days of Noah, there weren't any ice caps at the Antarctica or North Pole. All those happened because of the flood. But let's move on. I'm not going to do a creation message right now. The whole land shall be devoured by the fire of God's jealousy. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, unexpected, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. But it is also a day of great gathering and great rejoicing. Look at verse 10 of chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. A day of great gathering and great rejoicing and glory. Look at chapter 1, verse 10, where it says here, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints. That's us. He comes to be glorified in his people and to be admired among all those who believe. Admired is just not even scratching the surface of it. Admired means to be just awe-stricken with his glory, to be your eyes sparkling with his wonder. You've never smiled so much in your life. And your whole heart being so filled with him who loved you and gave himself for you, who's him whose glory fills everything that you see on that day. And when he comes in that day to be glorified in his people and to be admired among all those who believe. And then look at chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. What a reunion day. One of the truck drivers is well, a male and a female. But one of the truck drivers named Jacob, he came in and I was checking him in. He said, my little brother died today. I said, oh, my soul. I said, I'll keep you in my thoughts and prayers. And I said, what happened? Did you know it was coming? He said, no, nobody knows. They're going to do the testing and find out how he died. He was only 28. And then the next day, a lady comes in and she's all sad. I said, what's wrong, Sally? And she was more and more lady truck drivers nowadays. But she came in and she said, my brother-in-law died and my sister's beside herself. I said, well, did you know it was coming? She said, we knew he was sick, but we didn't know he was going to pass away this soon. And so I said, you got to set aside your truck today to go see him. She said, yeah, they're flying me out to Maryland and so on. And she was so sad, I told her I'll be keeping you in my thoughts and prayers. But her brother-in-law was like married to her sister for all these years, 40 years or so, and passed away. Imagine how many Christmases this family spent together. And you and I know that we've said goodbye to people that we were with a long time, that we were best friends with, that they had our hearts, and they're now in heaven. Isn't it going to be a wonderful day, first of all, to see Jesus, who made the person that you love, who made those who care, made you and died for you? But won't it be wonderful to have a reunion? Won't it be wonderful on that day of gathering to get to meet Adam and Eve, to get to meet David and Samuel, to get to meet Peter and Paul? Wouldn't that be wonderful to get to know them? So I won't know them. Notice the Bible says opposite. The Bible says you shall know them even as God knows you. 1 Corinthians 13. You'll know them. And won't it be wonderful for us to gather together and say, hey, boom, high five, slapping around. Hey, did you see this? Did you go there in heaven? We're having a great time. We're not going to be on some solemn cloud with a harp going ding, 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 trying to look all saintly-like. We're going to be running down those streets of glory, kicking up a trail of gold dust if it's possible, shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And shouting glory to God. And I see you, Philip. You're not going to have any doubts or wrinkles or anything else like that. You're going to be happy. You're going to be happy as a dog with seven tails. Amen. We're going to be... Hey, it's beyond our imagination, beyond our heart's desire. That day is a momentous day when Jesus comes to be avenged on his adversaries, and Satan and his angels, the demons of hell, are going to fall down on their knees and say, you are God, you are the Lord, you are the boss, You are the monarch of the universe. And they'll be, and on the other side, the praise of them saying, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We'll all become like a bunch of Alabama wind-sucking Christians. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just looking for that next breath. They shout even louder how good God is. You know, the Bible talks about, well, I can't get into all of it. We got to have time for the Lord's Supper. But you get me going on heaven. The Bible says, neither eye has seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. In other words, not in our wildest imaginations. I have a wild imagination. Not even in our wildest imaginations can we conceive the things that God has prepared for those who love him, for those who love his son Jesus, have believed. We can't even, I have a wild imagination. The Bible talks about the heaven being filled with these white horses that we're going to ride on in the day of glory when Jesus returns. Man, I can imagine not needing a saddle or a bit or anything, just grabbing a handful of mane and kicking that horse on the flanks. Maybe we'll just communicate by thought. And him just running and running and running, coming to a jungle where there's just a bunch of blood red cherries and other manner of fruits that never cease, that never rot, that never fall. I can get one. I have a friend who thought that since those grapes of Eshcol were so big in the book of Moses, that we'll be able to go around and find big old grapes and just plug a straw into them, walk around eating a grape all day, squeezing the juice out, whatever. I guess he really liked grape juice. That was in his imagination. The Bible says, no, no, heaven's beyond your imagination. You can't. I imagined one day just grabbing a lion. The lion will lay down with a lamb, right? Grabbing a lion, riding that thing through a forest, and all of a sudden a turtle starts to walk in the way. And the turtle says, hey, have you heard this joke? And just heaven being a place of joy and splendor and wonder, the Bible says the voice of the turtle would be heard in our land. That's the old King James Version. And the new King James Version, it meant turtle dove. And so, but it'll be interesting to communicate with creatures in heaven. You never drown. So the river, the water of life, you can jump in it after a salmon if you want to. Play with the salmon, tickle the salmon, and you won't have to worry about drowning. How many of you don't know how to swim? Well, you could get out into that water as deep as you want, and you don't have to worry about drowning because there's no death there, no sorrow, no pain. Well, along with my imagination. Now, you know what? People will criticize me for that unlike to, then so we see here this momentous event. But do you know, the most momentous event in history is gospel-centered. The most momentous event of all was when God left heaven and by the power of the Holy Spirit was conceived in the womb of a virgin. Her name was Mary. She wasn't always a virgin, for the Bible says she had several kids. Several daughters, several sons, after Jesus was born. They had a different father. Their father was Joseph. Jesus' father was God Almighty himself, the Father who is in heaven. And it wasn't through an act, it was through the supernatural overshadowing of power of the Holy Spirit that he was conceived. Now that's just part of the momentous event. The other of the greatest momentous event, which is the gospel, is that the Son of God lived a perfectly sinless life. Never thought entered his mind that was sinful. Never word came to his mouth that was sinful. His hands only moved in the perfect obedience and perfect will of his Father. His feet never took a step in the wrong direction. They were always guided in the perfect will of his Father. The greatest commandment of all, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. He kept perfectly every moment since his conception to his going to the cross. And when he got to the cross, the great center of this, the next triad of the greatness of the gospel, that most momentous event, was when he died for our sins. He took the sins of his people upon him. Like it was said at his birth, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that's where it took place. But even greatness alongside of that is that 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. Like the black preacher said, brothers and sisters, he done got up, gone, and went. Hallelujah. He rose again from the dead. And if not so, why are you here today? You're not networking like these other places of worship. You don't have a choir singing to you that just makes you feel a certain way, like other people that attend their places. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against choirs if they're singing for the glory of God and they're singing from a born again, blood washed heart. Amen. And then Jesus not only rose from the dead, but he is coming again. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. The most momentous event of all is the gospel story of Jesus. Because without that, there is no return of Christ. If Jesus died in his own sins, he's buried somewhere. He didn't rise from the dead. There is no day of judgment. In other words, to make it very plain and colloquial, O.J. did get away with murder. Hitler did get away with murder. Stalin did get away with murder. Mao Zedong did get away with murder. The murder of millions upon millions of people in the name of atheism and communism. Millions. They got away with it. But since Jesus did rise again from the dead, that day of Christ, the day of the Lord will come, in which Satan and all the enemies of God will be put down, and everyone confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We have to close here, and we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. So, Brother Victor and Brother